Morning Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Kia ora, Kirsten. How are you?
Kia ora. I'm pretty good.
That's good. That's good. We're back to the old internet, but it's still lovely to have you on the show.
Yep, I'm a bit. My voice is a bit crusty from lockdown, and we'll see if I don't wake up the shift workers in my house. But
we'll whisper. We'll do the radio
That's
on
right.
whispers.
Yeah.
We have got a very interesting sounding genre today, Kirsten. What are we talking about?
We're talking about pronk.
Pronk.
Pronk. Best genre name ever.
It is pretty good. It sounds like a utensil, like a fork or something. You know, some sort
oh,
of
right, right.
camping cutlery.
Sport. Well, and also there's another meaning of the word, which is a gait or leap in which all four legs are used to push off the ground, you know, like
Ooh.
Little gazelles do.
Beautiful.
Pronk, pronk, pronk.
So we're not really, it's not really gazelle sounding music though, is it? What is the vibe
no.
of pronk?
So it's progressive punk.
Okay.
Or prog punk, and that's where you get the pronk. So it's a bit silly, a name. And of course, like some of the other genres, none of the bands do it, right? You know, like, no, we're not punk.
Yeah, yeah,
we're
yeah.
psychedelic pop, or we're a lot of them started as metal bands too. So you do
oh.
so, and then we're gonna do one that does a bit of ska. So you need to know all your genres to even understand what I'm talking about. But so it's it did start in the late 70s following, you know, when punk sort of became more mainstream.
Yeah.
But here's the weird thing. I feel like prog and punk are often put as antithesis to each other, like opposites.
Yeah, yeah.
Prog was so much about classical music influence. It was about really technical sort of virtuosity.
Yeah.
And long songs, whereas punk was just about, you know, throwing things around and being angry.
And it was kind of a reaction to
yeah.
to what was going on with prog as well. They sort of thought it had got a bit too complicated and a bit too up itself, and so it sort of swung the other way, eh?
Yeah, it sort of left that sort of independence and rebellion of that rock was supposed to have. So punk sort of brought everything really back to basics. So it's sort of weird to see the combo, but I guess it's because, you know, these genre, like, you know, musically prog and punk were different.
Yeah.
But I guess the people that there were people that liked both, you know,
exactly.
So like it didn't apply. And apparently it did have some mainstream success. And well, so have a listen and see if you can hear like the elements.
Which one do you want to start with here, Kirsten? Would you
let's
like?
Let's see. We can play Don Caballero.
Let's do it. No, that is not the construction from downstairs, folks.
Took the joke out of my mouth.
I mean, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, and you can hear the sort of punkness and the
yeah,
sort
yeah.
of anger. You know, you don't really hear the prog, except instrumentally, it's not very punk, you know? It's sorts
There's
of
a
sound
lot going on, yeah.
So if the artists don't refer to themselves as as that genre, does that make it sort of a weird thing?
Well, yeah, but I feel like we see that a lot,
yeah.
you know? Like, I don't want to be pigeonholed,
yeah.
you know? I'm not this, and but... Sorry, just hearing the music.
The music is quite funny. It does a lot of things.
But genre important for helping us find the music, you know, in the midst of thousands of releases, and for communities to get together around the music, or for
right.
just musically to sort of draw, you know, we use that draw a circle around a bunch of things that have similarities. So, you know, do we listen to the artist or not? So this is from 2000, and they're American, and the music's mostly instrumental.
It's kind of reminding me a little bit of math rock as well, Kirsten.
Me too. And no, nothing I read brought that up.
Right.
But to me, I'm hearing math rock a lot.
Mm.
I guess it's just a little more punky, but it does have that complexity.
So
now, the big band, I don't know, I can't remember why we're not playing them, was the Cardiacs.
Because they're quite hard to find online in some places, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we might not have found a good track, but that's the one that people, that really pronked the prong, you know, that people talk it. And so
they have them into the collective conscious.
Right. Just pronked off. So eccentric theatrical stage shows, complex and intense sort of music.
You can kind of see how they would have been informed by what came after punk. If we're talking about the early 2000s here, you've had a lot of musical genres sort of come out of punk, come out of prog. You can see how they could bring those things together. I'm getting a little bit of a Devo vibe, like maybe a
Me
bit
too.
More.
Me too. I guess nerdy. Less electronic, yeah. But yes, definitely nerdy. And you can see they're just bringing the musical strands together, you know, having that punk energy, but that prog sort of intricacy and technical sort of cleverness.
So is this mostly an American scene?
Well, the Cardiacs were English, and another London band called Wire are also supposed to be influenced.
Oh,
so,
really? Would people put Wire under the prog category?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're important to prog music. you know, so that, and they had a mixture of sort of Monty Python and Devo, like you said, and circus music, but that energy of punk.
Yeah.
But apparently there's...
The tempo of this has changed about 17 times.
That's the mathy. That's the math.
That's the math.
Yeah.
That's the proggy part. The punky
but
part is the drums.
There's pop prog, post-prog.
Wow.
Email prank.
Somebody texted in to say it reminds them of Primus. They reckon we should play Too Many Puppies.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna move on to the next one we've got here, Mr. Bungle.
Yep.
Tessa's face is looking solidly unconvinced by this.
I don't mind it.
I'm actually like, but I probably wouldn't sit down and listen to it.
No.
But I can respect it.
So here's the weird thing.
You can say that about a lot of genres, right?
I do. Yeah. I like to sit solidly on the fence.
Well, and they dabble in different genres. Metal, jazz, ska, disco, funk. And the main guy in this band also became the lead singer for Faith No More.
What? Oh,
yeah.
That explains why Sarah likes this band. Sarah was like, oh. Well, actually, Sarah didn't say that. Amelia said Sarah likes this band, so.
Sarah didn't deny it.
Yeah.
But so these are another American band, California, and started as metal.
So you said they went on to become the lead singer. So was
the lead singer? The lead singer joined Faith No More.
Right.
But he still kept in touch with his Bungle projects.
Yeah.
And then I went down this rabbit hole of this guy and Mr. Bungle having major beef with Anthony Kiedis from Chili Peppers.
Whoa!
Why?
Oh my
Give
god, this is so funny.
I love this kind of gossip. Fill us
oh,
in.
Oh gosh, and they would make fun of the Chili Peppers all the time, do impersonations of Kiedis. And then Chili Peppers had Californication, and so they delayed the release of this band's album California.
This is what this song is from.
So do you know what the beef was? Because they had similar album titles, or
well, that they would be on the same playlist, but right. The Chili Peppers would bump them off and stuff like that.
So they've kind of got the small man syndrome going on a little bit.
Yes.
Here. They're like, yeah, the Chili Peppers suck.
Well, yeah, they even
but
admit
we won't
it.
Try and compete with them.
I've definitely been partial to falling down a musician's
beef
yeah, rabbit apparently hole. Once. Yeah. He impersonated Kiedis on stage but wearing a blonde wig and spoke with a lisp and
so
said
mean.
He was an insecure junkie.
Oh.
Yikes.
But oh, here's a New Zealand connection. Kiedis responded to that by having them removed from the 2000 Big Day Out Festival in Australia and New Zealand.
Whoa.
Really?
How did he do that? Did he just say, I'm not playing if they're playing?
Yeah. And
oh, shit.
That's so mean.
And so they claim that this ruined Mr. Bungle's career, missing out on the New Zealand Big Day Out.
Oh my god, the drama.
Wow.
I kind of I'm kind of into the vocals. Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Well, I mean, that makes sense, right? Because do you like Faith No More?
Yeah, I do like Faith No More.
Yeah.
I also like it because it's got the kind of Jarvis Cocker pulp sort of sound going on there, which will be no surprise to anybody who listens to this show.
And so this guy that I'm talking about, Michael Patton, he's produced people like Sepultura, Cool Keith, John Zorn. Like, he's a really interesting artist, and Bungle is just, you know, one of his sort of creative projects.
It is kind of interesting, I think, when you see musicians who have got lots of different projects going on, and then they've got one project which maybe people know less about, or sits in a weirder genre or a weirder space, and you kind of think, is that where your heart is? Is that your real, like, passion project? That sort of...
Yeah, I think you can kind of tell with this guy that this was, like, the real him, you
know? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but here's a funny fun fact. Mr. Bungle emerged after its members were kicked out of their respective bands.
Oh, no. So they really were the band of chips on their shoulder. This track, by the way, is called Pink Cigarette, if anyone's wondering. And the Don Caballero track we were listening to is called Let's Face It, Pal, You Didn't Need That Eye Surgery Anyway. What a title. I'm going to go into bubble math now, Kirsten. Friend, isn't freedom funny?
We can't help but notice you spend all your time. This is quite different again.
Is this the Scar influenced one? Is this what you're talking about, Kirsten?
Well, I mean, Mr. Bungle did Scar stuff, not that track, but other tracks. So I guess they introduced this sort of that is allowed, you know, But I can, but even having their name Math makes me think more math.
Yeah. Oh wow, it's taking off. There's quite a lot going on in this, and we are only 40 seconds into the song. It's a 7.5 minute long song.
They describe themselves as eclectic prog avant pop art math.
Wow, it's a lot of words.
I'm loving the vocals to hear too.
Yeah, kind of barbershoppy.
And so this is real recent, 2017, and they're from Minnesota.
It's kind of got a post-emo feel to it a little bit too. I'm getting a tiny My Chemical Romance flavor going on here.
Right, and so maybe that's where, you know, why there's emo prong. You know, like that there must be some members of this sort of group dabbling in this.
So is there another genre called emo punk?
Prong, yes, sorry. And post-prong.
It's hard, you know.
And pop prong.
Pop prong. Thoughts
but
on
I
this, beefing listeners? What do you think about prong?
That it's not emo, and it's not prog, and it's not punk. Like, you can hear, and it's not as mathy as the math. So
no.
I guess prong is a proper word that...
I don't know that I could go to a gig, I think, of this. I think I might struggle with that. But I can very much appreciate that they sound like they're having a lot of fun, and that they're obviously very talented musicians.
I've never heard such a backhanded compliment in my life. you sound like you're having a good time and you're very talented.
Someone's mum sort of trying to be supportive of the band. Yeah, it's nice, kids. I'm sure someone's into it. It's not a relaxing listen.
And maybe prong is like a bigger word and math can sort of fit underneath it, I guess, but not all the math rock had that punk vibe though either,
no.
Did it?
Yeah. It does, I know it's got English roots, but it does sound very strongly of that American delineation of where it's kind of like punk of the 2000s or that sort of new punk from the 2000s split off. It does sound like it sits more in that category.
Well, yeah, and even the older American sort of West Coast punk, you know, I can hear that as opposed to the British punk,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Pronk. Sounds like a good insult as well. Oh, yeah, bloody pronk. It's a good...
Now, that is such a British thing, so the Americans wouldn't
they? No, they probably wouldn't. So we've been listening to Bubble Math currently, Mr. Bungle and Don Caballero talking about Pronk with Dr. Kirsten Zemke. Thank you, Kirsten. Someone said Zappa. Zappa was partial to a little bit of barbershop. Surely he's had an influence on this stuff. That's probably
a
fair call.
I agree, and I didn't hear his name too much, but one article I read about it predicted that Zappa would have loved it.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably, you know,
so,
fair.
So it's like his spirit.
His spirit lives on in Pronk. What are you going to be bringing us next week, Kirsten?
A great genre, electro. Woo-hoo! Early 80s.
Excellent.
Get your robot moves ready.
And your vocoders going.
That's right.
Sounds fantastic. Well, have a lovely week, Kirsten, and we'll talk to you then.
Yeah, and we'll see whether it's live or from home.
From home. We'll just wait and see. Ka kite, Kirsten. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
Not even.